Good morning. First and foremost, you guys are looking good this morning. All right? I'm glad you're here this morning, and I'm not just, you know, trying to butter you up. I'm just glad you're here. To be honest, it's a great group to know that, hey, we're all in this right now, and the kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus is in the presence, right? The Spirit is here, and He's moving. And I hope, my hope as a pastor, too, that you're feeling that. You've already prayed for this. You've already woken up with the ability to go, hey, I'm ready to worship God this morning, right? I hope you know that, even in the midst of the storms, that you can find joy knowing that we're in the presence of Jesus Christ, right? I hope so. That's my hope. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to look at what's ahead of us and what's happened behind us, right? It's easy to be focused on. But when we settle down and we realize that we're in His presence, man, nothing else can overwhelm that, right? To know that, hey, the storms outside of this have nothing on my God. He's bigger than those things. And I find peace in that. I want to give props to our worship team this morning and the team upstairs. You guys do a great job. I don't feel like I give you guys enough props to lead us in worship. There's a lot to that, and so I just wanted to let them know that they're loved and appreciated this morning, and that you guys are loved and appreciated. You guys sounded like a great choir this morning. Worshiping God is just such a blessing, and I hope you feel the same way. Last week was one of those services that I really could have just stepped to the side and allow God's Spirit just to lead us. The testimonies were amazing. Hearing how God is working in your lives, I thought, okay, we're good. We can keep moving. I'm good, right? And I hope the same thing is still happening this week. I hope you've been able to see how God is working in your life. I hope that you are excited to be in His presence and, to be more importantly, excited to be in His mission. Because the reality is this. You guys all have a job in God's view, right? And what's cool is we have a job description right here. It's lengthy sometimes, right? And to get through it is a lifelong journey. It doesn't just stop, oh, I've read the Bible once. I'm good all the way through. I did that year plan. I don't have to read anymore. No, there's so much meat to this that it's never ending. It's filled with stuff that you will always get and you'll always go, wow, that's new and amazing, and I'm able to take that and roll with it. God is always relevant. He's the future, He's the past, and He's the presence, all wrapped up in one. And so what He knows is far beyond what we'll ever discover. And I hope you understand that. Because once you do, it puts you in your place and understand, hey, I need to continue for the rest of my life to be seeking God and His knowledge and His wisdom and His love and His grace, right? And also His redemption. His restoration. We started a new series last week called Knocking. And I started off with Revelations. And we're just going to read through Revelations 3, 19 through 20. All right? Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Those are tough things right there. If we remember that, right? So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What a great verse. What a great opportunity. He invites us into a relationship with Him. He's at the door. Some of us, we need to hear His voice to be yelling because we're that far away from that moment. But this is what He's doing. He's always knocking at the door of your life because this is what He loves. Have you ever knocked at a door and you're like, they're not coming, and you go, I'm just going to stay here until they do? I haven't. Right? And as I've gotten older, if I have to go knock on a door, if I have to do that, and I knock on that door, it's one of those, knock, knock, okay, I'm out. They're not home. I don't even give them a chance to get out of their couch. Anybody else? Right? I don't know what it is as I get older, as I move forward in this world, and plus we live in a world that we don't necessarily enjoy company as much as we used to. I would say unexpected company. And what I think within this, I think we live, if we talked about last week, we live in that moment of Jesus kind of always being that unexpected company. We're not ready for him to come in because we are not cleaned up. We're not ready to let him in this moment, because once he's in, he's in. He sees everything. He knows everything. He knows the fights that happen within this home. He knows how dirty this home can get. He knows everything. So yes, a lot of us prefer the patio Jesus moment, where we keep him outside and we're like, hey, we can have this relationship. It's so much easier, and I still connect, and I still have the blessings of your relationship, but I don't necessarily need you all the way in. Because then you come in and you see everything, right? We talked about that last week and what that looks like. And we said, once we invite Jesus in, this is what I love about Jesus. He goes straight to the dinner table. He's ready to have a meal with you. And not one of those meals that are like, all right, let's eat as fast as we can. Let's get through this. And I'm ready to sit on the couch and watch TV and just drain out the rest of the day. He's asking you questions. He's intrigued about what's going on in your life. He wants to know your hopes and your dreams. He wants to know in the areas of your life that you know need him more specifically. Right? He's wanting to make an impact in your life. Man, that should be amazing. That should be some of those things that we want. Right? And the moment that we open our door, the moment that we invite him in, the moment he sits down and we have those intimate moments at the table, and he lets you know how much he loves you. And we referred back to the Last Supper. And I think about that every time that I have a meal with him in my life, about how much he loves us, that he broke his body for us, that he bled for us, and that blood covers my sins. Not just some sins, all sin. He covers it. And he had a choice. It was his choice not to do it. It was his choice not to like love us that much. And he chose to love us to death. That's how much he went on in that meal, that time that he's invited in, that time he starts to change this. He starts to confront the things that we need to be confronted with. He starts to move in our life to a point that is uncomfortable, because some of the things that we have allowed to pile up, we've gotten used to. Do you understand? The things that we allow, the sin that we allow into our lives that we don't let God touch, we become used to it. It actually starts to define who we are. And it's not something that we're proud of. It's not something that we want to share. It's not usually something that if we're confronted with, that we're like, we deny it, right? But in that denial, we know the truth. Because who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. God is the truth, right? And today, the Holy Spirit, that's all the Holy Spirit speaks to us, is the truth. And when we are confronted by the Holy Spirit, how we act and how we are and how the things that in our life that we need to re-examine is all truth that he's telling us. So this is what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the moments that we approach God in prayer and approach God in our relationship, right? And what it looks like from the knocking point of view, right? Right now, it's Jesus coming into our life. The moment that we accept Jesus, this morning we're going to talk about our approach to Jesus and knocking at his door and how we approach Jesus, right? We're going to talk, Ezekiel 36:26 says this. And let me give you some history here. Ezekiel is talking, this is a moment of Israel. And of course, I've talked about Israel. This is another moment where they've been saved, and they walked away. They made idols God. It was another moment of their history where they just go, you know, God's not, he's proven himself, but we're not happy. We're not happy. You ever have those moments in your life? I'm just not happy. I'm going to find something else to do. I just, you know, this just isn't working for me. This is kind of where they're at. They just, you know, they saw other avenues and they, it seems appealing. It seems nice. It seems like something that I want, right? And guess what? The world has promises. It has things out there that are appealing to us. And not necessarily innately bad. But once we put it on the throne of our life, once it becomes the thing that we define ourselves, guess what we've done? We've made that a sin. We've made that something that God never intended it to be. All right? And this is what the Israelites were doing. They were making something into something that God never intended, and they worshiped that. All right? And it became their hearts. And in this moment, we have this, and I love this. I will give you a new heart. This is a promise from God to his people. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I think a lot of us live with a heart of stone, and some of us don't even know it. We're bitter. We're angry. We're resentful. And we disguise it by things of like, well, it used to be this. And now it's not. And I'm angry about that. It used to be that I loved this, and now it's become stale and not like there's just no life in it. And I just don't. We can look out in this world and we can easily pinpoint things that we hate. Right? Right? No? Yeah? Yeah? Right? Now, I don't like to talk about politics up here. That is not my thing. But I'm not going one side or to the other. But I will tell you, growing up, there was a respect for the office. I don't care who was the president. There was a respect for the office. Right? Am I right with this? And something happened in a transition. And when our hearts have grown stone cold to that. Right? And I will tell you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, guess what our hearts are supposed to be like? Loving, supportive, and praying. And I'm going to tell you really quick, it's not praying that you kick somebody out of office. Do you understand that? I know I'm getting myself in deep water here. I feel it. Our prayer should be one of support, one of like, God, give them to the wisdom to lead as the way that you would want them to lead. God, fill them with your wisdom. God, fill them with your grace. God, fill them with the leadership that they need. Right? See, somewhere along the way, and I'm not blaming this church and specifically, but I'm blaming the church here in America. Somewhere along the way, we turned our hearts to wanting to be served by everybody. Thinking that we deserve every right that we have. Thinking that they should be grateful for us. And I want to tell you, somewhere along the way, we missed the point for this society and this culture to be thankful for us. Do you understand that? Our culture needs us. And we need to be the church that our culture needs. We need to be loving, kind, caring, praying. We need to be changing our communities for God's love, His kingdom. Right? Our heart, we need to stop being like the Israelites, whining, complaining, only self-serving. Man, I'm not trying to come down on you, but this is Scripture is just so real with this. And if you look at the history of God's people, even our own personal history, I've seen it where I'm like high on a mountain. I'm going to camp next week, and still as an adult, in teen camp is one of those moments that the Spirit just moves and you're overwhelmed by it and you go, man, I want to go home and I want to bring the Spirit with me, right? And it's so easy to start going like a life full of this, right? To a point, I would say more of this spiritually because, man, it's easy to start thinking, God's just not moving. What happens, though, my needs are not being met, and I'm frustrated by that. My dreams are not being met, and I'm frustrated by that. And Jesus kind of confronts this with a prayer. He says in Luke 11, 9 through 13, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." Stop right there. I think we hold on to this verse backwards, right? The first couple times I've ever read it, it makes it really feel like I'm in a relationship that whatever I want, he will give. That almost within this relationship, it's the genie effect of my God. And other pastors, other places have preached this in a way, and I'm not against any other pastors, but we preached it in a way that if you're right with God, he will give you your dreams and your hopes and your desires. And if he doesn't give it to you, guess what? Something is not right with you and God. And it makes it such an unhealthy relationship of we lose the whole fact that I don't earn this with God. But we read this and we have this mentality that I have to earn what God has given me, because if he's not giving me this, then I must be doing something wrong. Because I really want that new home. And no bank will give me a loan. Come on, God. I've been praying. I've been good. I'm nice to my neighbor right now. I'm a good employee. Like, I've even forgiven people. Shouldn't I get what I want? No. This is not what this verse is saying. And let me help you here. Let me put some emphasis on this. The emphasis is if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, I will be there. And everything in that will be defined how you live. If I'm asking God to be this, to be here, to live in this, right? I'm knocking at his door and I'm ready for him to be my king. I'm ready for him to be my master. I'm ready for him to sit on the throne of my life. I am asking him, do this. My life is yours. Then from this point on, every decision, everything that falls under that privy is submitted to him. And what I've noticed throughout my life, we have a hard time submitting to anything. And this isn't just you, this is me. When we have our own hopes and our own desires and our own thoughts of how we should live, and somebody comes in, guess what? Marriage is the best example of this, right? From this point on, the moment I said I do, I am submitting to my wife, she's submitting to me, and we have to find the ground where we can live together, right? She has hopes and dreams. I have hopes and dreams, right? And Scripture talks about this, and we tend to manipulate Scripture with this, right? Jesus talks about this, that we are called to submit our wives are called to submit to their husbands, right? Not too many amens there, all right? Right? I got one. Good luck to you, my friend, all right? And what are the husbands to do? Well, that's not so much what it's saying, but it's really close, right? Love, lay down our life like Jesus did. That's submit. Those things are not easy. Especially when we have a relationship that's based on scorecards. When I don't think I'm getting what I deserve, why should I give what they think they deserve? Anybody ever deal with that? Nobody's going to want to say, oh, yeah, right? You want to have a good afternoon, right? But we live in that, and it's a constant. It's a, always having to deal with it, right? And go, the only way we can is if we're asking, seeking, and knocking. God wants to come in and change our view and change how we love and change what this is in relationships out to here, right? I being a youth pastor for 20 years, being a senior pastor for these past couple of years, and executive, like adults and teens, there's not too much difference when it comes to relationship. One of the funniest prayer requests that my wife has ever been given, and it was a serious moment with a bunch of teens. It was at a camp. They just said, I need you to pray for my dad. And it was emotional. And so Michelle, well, what's going on? How can we pray? My dad's got a problem with the remote. He won't let anybody else have it. And it was so serious. God moved in Michelle, and she didn't laugh. She prayed for him, right? But I, as joking goes, we have a tendency, as immature as that prayer is, adults have the same problem. We look at other people and go, they need to change. They need to make this right. They need you, God, to move in their life and be redeemed. And everything in this, once they do that, oh, it'll be so much better for me. Because they'll love me the way that you love me, God. Right? I think in this verse, when we think about this, God comes in and changes our heart and how to act with other people. When we ask him and seek him and knock at his door, he comes in and he changes things. And I will tell you, I've seen people start to do this, and the first natural reaction is, I love you in here, but stop. Stop rearranging this heart, because it's starting to hurt, because now I can't protect it. Because now I'm putting myself out there, and I take this step, and I have to walk out there and like love this person that's not loving me the way I want them to love me, and I have to show them grace, and I have to show them a forgiveness, right, and love that's just unconditional. So not me. Right? And I the scorecard gets wiped clean while the other person still keeps the score. That's not fair. And God comes in and goes, I've made it fair. I've loved you through everything. I've forgiven you still. And every time you walk away, I still love you and I still want to be a part of you, and I will never reject you. And he comes in and with that attitude, and guess what? When we ask, seek, and knock on Jesus' door, and he comes in and he allows us in, and he's the one that's, it's his kingdom. And he starts to mold our hearts and our thoughts and everything in those terms, and starts to soften our heart. We start to be alive with him. In those relationships that are not fair, we find peace in God. We find understanding in God. We find reason with God. We sat a couple nights ago around our gaming table as a family, and we just had one of those discussions about life and expectations and marriage and just talking about me and Michelle sharing our journey. And I, you know, we were both pretty honest with them that night and just said, you know, it's road at some points. We've made mistakes along the way. And if it wasn't for God in our relationship, I really can't tell you where we would be. And we started reminiscing about like how the world out there in relationships and how messy it can be. And knowing that they don't have God at the center of it is just hopeless. And I started thinking about, like, I don't think the statistic has changed too much. The rate for divorce amongst married couple is like 50% or higher. And it's no different in the church. Whew. That shows me that we're not ready, that a lot of our hearts are still stone. That just like the Israelites, and it's easy to sit and read in the Old Testament and go, man, why are they so dumb? Why do they keep doing things that they keep being rescued and God gives them their space and they take it and they're like, oh, I can do this without God. And all of a sudden they're in desperation again and they're crying out, please save me. I think we do this with our relationships. I think we do this with our world and we go, all right, I've had my full reign here and all of a sudden I feel empty and my heart is stone and I'm crying out, save me again. Save this marriage. This is the reality. God is in the work of saving all things. He is. He's in the work. He wants to redeem things, and he wants to sit there. And the more we allow God in this, it heals everything else. Work life. Home life. Life in general. When we give the reins to God, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what the storms are, because the storms are going to come. They're part of life. We live in a sinful world. We got to stop being so astonished by that. We live in a broken, sinful world. And guess what? It affects us even if we have the best life with God. It comes at us. It hurts us. And this is what's amazing. This is the truth about Jesus Christ. He comes in and deals with it with us. We're never alone in this. And the time that we're redeemed from it is the time that we die and resurrected with him. But until then, the struggle is real. But the struggle is so much smoother knowing that Jesus reigns here. It gives us a mission and understanding. So in our conversation with our kids that night, it was knowing and understanding, hey, if you keep God at the center of your life, if you keep God at the center of your relationships, keep God at the center of school, keep God at the center of your sports, guess what starts to happen? Yeah, it doesn't make it any easier, but you know and you're satisfied and you have a joy that's defined by God and you have a heart that's not bitter, angry, resentful. Because the moment that we take it and we don't feel like we're getting what we want, it starts to grow callous. It starts to get hard. It starts to get resentful. And we start doing the scoreboard life that I haven't gotten mine. And I think the scoreboard life is unhealthy, unrealistic, and you're always going to be a loser. Because every relationship will be defined by that. And if you have that relationship with somebody that you are only getting yours and you want to be make sure you're either even or above that relationship, guess what is going to happen in that relationship? They're probably going to move away from you. They'd have been probably like, this is who we are. Church. Imagine being a church where people just come in and use us, abuse us, take us for what we are, and not being resentful about it. Not easy. You see, if we have God on our heart, we know he supplies all the things that we need. Love, compassion, caring, grace, mercy. Man, if we lost our building today, would it mean we stopped being the church that God has called us? Would it be difficult? Yeah. Would we manage? Could we go out there and do this in the heat? Man, that would stink. Literally. Right? But is our God bigger than our comfort? I really hope so. If we had to meet in a tiny little room, be scrunched up, no sound system, would we praise our God for what he has provided us? See, it's so easy to look at the exteriors of what we have and start to really take pride in those things. Start to really take count in those things. But when we ask Jesus in our heart, when he resides in there, we ask, seek, and knock on his door, he redefines everything that we have and shows us the value of what really is there. All those things will be turned to dust. But the love that he has for us is everlasting. Do you believe that? And when I say, do you believe that, are you willing to allow him to turn your heart from stone to flesh? It will change how you see each other. It will change how you have relationships. It will change how you love people that were unlovable. Listen, church, we need to be the people that are asking God, how can you use me? Think about that. God, how can you use me? Seeking God out and go, God, I need the mission today. I woke up knowing how you have refreshed me, knowing how you love me. Give me a mission today. Knocking on his door, going, pounding like almost annoying. Hey, I'm here. I'm here. Let me in. I'm ready to embrace you. I'm ready to give you. I'm ready to know what's going on in this life so I can go out there in my mistakes, in my failures, know that you are redeeming me and you're beyond my mistakes and my failures. You can actually use those things to further your kingdom. Man, there should have been an amen right there. Right? Because we all have fallen short and we allow ourselves to be defined by our failures, but God comes in and sees the masterpiece that he has created through all the ugliness that we continue to throw on it. Man, that's a joy. Man, knowing that is so good. That's the reason I can stand up here. Last week, man, I was having a hard time with words. Words were just not coming to me, if you remember, right? And while I love to, I have really close friends, and they love to let me know, hey, you messed up that word. Oh, thanks. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm staring at you guys. Yeah, right here. Yeah. And when what I love about youth ministry, it has created a tough skin. I don't care anymore. If I mess up here, God's got this. Right? And this sounds horrible. I don't even care in marriage because if I mess up, God's got this. This means I come back and I ask for forgiveness. I let my pride down. Whether I think I'm right or I'm wrong, if I believe Jesus sits here, guess what? He will tell me, go. It's uncomfortable. It's not about you. This person needs your love more than you need to be vindicated. Can you imagine that? Do you have to be right? Can God be right? And if God's right, if he's working in you, guess what starts to change? The value system of who you are and what you do is defined by him. Man, the more we seek out God, the more we realize he's in the redeeming process of everything. Relationships, my life, this world. And we need to have an attitude that's ready to ask him, what do I need to do? Seek him to give us a mission. Knock on his door to let him know, I'm here, use me. Because he wants to. He's not here to be our genie. He's not here to answer all our problems. He does love us enough to answer our problems. But this is the reality of our relationship with God has turned to this moment. Like, if God loves me, he'll do this for me. That ain't healthy. And that's not what the intention is. If he loves me, how can I live for him? In this world that is messy, in my world that is messy, how can I live for him? So the challenge, church, stand up with me. The challenge is this week. Are you ready to knock at his door, and do you have a heart that is softened? Do you have a stone of a heart that's within relationships that you have today? Is there areas in your life that you just allowed, you know, God, I'll let you have this part of me, but once you move in of this is going to make me have to do things that I'm uncomfortable with. Are you ready for God to change your heart? And if so, this is my challenge this week. Be a person that is asking God, how do I love for you? Seek out God to go, how can I do this love, this work that you put in front of me? knock on his door with an excitement that he knows, that you know, that he's going to do something amazing this week. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's the worst week I've ever had, if I'm asking and seeking and knocking, I know God's going to be there through it with me. It might mean I have to have a conversation that is not comfortable for me, but I need to go and have that with somebody that needs God's love and needs it from me, needs it from you. When he sits at our table this week, when we break bread this week, when we drink of his cup this week, may it be an attitude that is a heart of flesh, one that's asking, seeking, and knocking of his will, not ours. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity to be in a relationship with you. Lord, move in us this week. May we seek you out. May we take the steps to live out a faith that we understand through the storms, through the wind that blows, our foundation is built on you. May we believe it, may we understand it, even if we think those storms are so huge that we can't resolve it, that we've already given up on it. You are the God that restores. You are the God that redeems. You are the God that is beyond the impossible. May you be glorified this week. May we continue to seek you out. And Lord, may we say yes to you, even if we don't want to. May we feel our heartbeat, because you live in our life. We give you all the praise. Amen. You're dismissed.